Your attitude toward the law affects you in different ways. How many of you got stopped for speeding within the last year and you're willing to raise your hand?
Not the last year.
Not the last year. Carol has some other confession to make. If you get stopped for speeding, you look at the law negatively. But if you almost got hit by somebody else speeding, what do you think about the law then? A police should go get that guy. My point is how we look at the law. Basically, we like the law as long as it doesn't restrict me or affect me negatively. People call the police pigs until their civil rights are violated, and then it's call the police. James, in chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, had to rebuke the readers, his readers, for playing favorites to those who came to their church services. Let's read verses 1 through 4, because we're going to go on from there today. James 2, 1, "My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. For if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring in goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, Sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, Stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. Are ye not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts?" So now, today we're going to go up to verses 5 to 13. We're at least going to read those verses. We're only going to get to verse 9. But we're going to see that these have to do with those who show partiality. They are actually guilty of breaking four laws. And so I've entitled this message, Law Breakers. And although there are four laws concerning impartiality here, I want us to look at two of those four this afternoon. So let's look at those who break the kingdom law in verses 5 through 7. "Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? Do they not blaspheme that worthy name by the which ye are called?" He goes on in verses 8 and 9 to talk about those who break the royal law. Verse 8, "If ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. But if ye have respect to persons, ye commit sin, and are convinced of the law as transgressors." Then he talks about the whole law. In verses 10 and 11, "For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. For he that said, Do not commit adultery, also said, Do not kill. Now if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law." Then in verses 12 and 13, liberty's law. "So speak ye and so do as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. For he shall have judgment without mercy that has showed no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment." So you can see how there are these four laws concerning impartiality. Two of them we're going to look at this afternoon. And the first one is partiality and the kingdom law, verses 5 through 7. Those who will inherit the kingdom are those whom God has chosen. Kingdom law is my term for what the Bible teaches concerning those who will inherit the kingdom. And I want to break this down into these two points. First of all, in this partiality in the kingdom law, we have God's choice. Verse 5, "Hath not God chosen the poor of this world, and yet they're rich in faith?" Poor financially, poor materially, but rich in faith. The things of this world do not motivate them. So in reference to what the world has to offer them, they're poor. However, in reference to what God has offered them, they are, look at it, rich in faith. Rich in faith is parallel to poor of this world. Their confidence is not in this temporal world, but in the eternal kingdom. And that's what they're called, heirs of the kingdom, right there in that verse. So it's possible for the poor of this world to be rich in the next. Or it's possible for those who are rich in this world to be poor in the next. You've heard of Egyptian kings being buried with their treasures. What good does it do them? I read once of a lady, a wealthy lady who was buried in her car that she loved. I guess you can be buried in all kinds of caskets, can't you? But Paul makes it clear we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Or you could be poor now and poor in the next. Or you could be rich here and rich in the next. Although that seems to be rare. It seems to be those who are poor here are rich in the next. The promise of inheritance is to them that love him, not to those who love this world and its riches. So God does make a choice based not on what a man has, but blessed are the poor in spirit for theirs. Blessed are the poor in spirit because theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 5:3. So there's God's choice in verse 5. On the other hand, in verses 6 to 7, we have our choice. And this is where we see you've despised the poor. And then he makes this statement, do not rich men oppress you. We'll get to that in a second, but let's look at this part. You have despised the poor. Those whom God chooses, verse 5, we tend to despise or treat shamefully. That's our tendency. We are swayed by those with money. Are we not? It says much about Christians who like to hobnob with rich and famous people more than poor and unknown fellow believers. Instead of treating these rich men as lost men, we treat them as rich men. They've got money. They can stay in the Lincoln bedroom. Others cannot, they're shoved aside. Money gets you places here, but not hereafter. There's comments about visitors sometimes in some churches. Visitors who have money would sure be nice to get them in the church. Some of the most godly men had no money. They were not used to buying their way into things. They had to depend upon their character. What do those whom we tend to choose, the rich, what do they do? Well, look back at verse 6. We've despised the poor. Here's what the rich men do. Do not rich men what? They oppress you. They draw you before the judgment seats. They'll sue you in a minute. I think Dolores is probably the only one who will remember these particular people in our church very, very early on. And they were wealthy. And when it came time to vote on the budget and the pastor's salary, they would never want to raise it. But this same man would catch me aside and he would get money out of his pocket and say, hey, pastor, go buy some groceries for your family. I learned early on, that guy's trying to control me. And so when they left, you say, man, there went the money. It's so interesting. The money giving didn't change. So you can look at the rich men and say, oh, boy, we don't want to lose them. No, it's not worth having them, if that's their attitude. Many rich men in the Bible were Sadducees, and they liked to control people religiously and politically. In the book of Acts, the apostles constantly remind us that these men, these Sadducees, were the ones who crucified Jesus Christ, that the same Christ is risen from the dead, and the same Jesus was coming back to judge them someday. And these were the ones that James' readers were favoring over those whom God had chosen. Folks, partiality is flattery. You're partial if you don't preach the same thing to someone else. It might offend because they may not give in the offering plate. They blaspheme, it says in verse 7, they blaspheme that worthy name. The word worthy is the word beautiful. They blaspheme that beautiful name. In fact, it's where we get our word calligraphy, beautiful writing, beautiful name. A beautiful name. The name by which Christians are slandered. You know, the name of Christ and the names of Christians is being blasphemed today. Always has been. And yet, when those same people come and visit our assembly, we don't treat them with disdain, and yet we're tempted to give them preference. And that's having respect of persons, which God, verse 1, the Lord of glory, does not have. So partiality violates the law of the kingdom. And then here's the second law that it violates. Partiality also violates the royal law, verses 8 and 9. Look at the royal law's fulfillment in verse 8. Again, if ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. So it's called the royal law because, as Jesus said, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. The first commandment, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. The second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The second is a test for the first. Think about the royal law, folks. There's no need for thousands of complex laws if everybody just kept those two. Think about it. Those are the only two laws you would need. Those are the only two laws we would need if everybody followed that perfectly. James, by saying this, may be anticipating the response of his readers just to do what Jesus said to do. Love the rich, too. Yeah, we tend to love those who have potential of helping us. But this has to do with love your neighbor, not just the rich. Love your neighbor as yourself. When you say someone is your neighbor, we generally think positive in a positive way. But Jesus defined the neighbor in a parable in Luke chapter 10, the Good Samaritan, in that passage as anyone needing help. Every lost person in this world needs your help. So who's your neighbor? Every lost person. The royal law's fulfillment in verse 8, the royal law's transgression in verse 9. But if ye have respect to persons, here we're back to partiality again. If you have respect to persons, ye commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. The royal law applies not only to those who can benefit you, but to those who need help. Jesus said this in Luke 6:33, if ye do good to them which do you good, what thank have ye? For sinners also even do the same. By showing partiality, our sin is exposed. Christian love is an act of the will. It is not an emotion that I have to muster up. Because I may not like my neighbor's personality, I may not like his smell, his habits, And yet love is showing favor to him in spite of those things. And as I act or have that volition in love, the emotions follow. So when it comes to playing favorites, are you a lawbreaker? Just those first two, the kingdom law and the royal law. Friendly to Christians who are related to you as your brothers and sisters, but isolating yourself from others, then you're partial. Kind to those who are kind to you, but ignore those who get on your nerves, you practice partiality. Lawbreakers on the loose. Let us not be one of them. Lord, may we truly be as our Lord Jesus Christ, who showed no respect of persons, the Lord of glory. Lord, may we truly choose those you choose. You've chosen the poor of this world. We also know that you have chosen rich men. But rich men think that they have their own way to heaven so many times. And unless they see themselves as poor spiritually, they cannot be saved. Lord, blessed, our Lord Jesus said, are those who are poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now use us to win the lost to you as we love our neighbors as ourselves, because we first of all love you with all our hearts, souls, and minds. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's close with a song. Brother Dave, come lead us, please.